Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, of the destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Shalom, and welcome to His Word Heals. This program is focused weekly on living and praying in agreement with Yahweh's Word. The premise of this program each week is that once you have put your trust in the death, burial, resurrection, and kingship of Yeshua our Messiah, you are either a newly grafted in branch or a grafted back in branch of the tree of Israel, as explained by Paul in Romans 11:13-17. You are part of spiritual Israel, joined to Yahweh's chosen people, and all of the promises and instructions given to Israel apply to you, both the blessings for obedience and the chastisements for disobedience, as outlined throughout His entire Word. Please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. If you are blessed by what you hear, please consider supporting this radio station by clicking the donate button on their website. Our look into Zechariah, Haggai, King Cyrus, and King Darius has turned into somewhat of a series, as there is so much great information in these prophecies and the time period just after the 70 years of captivity leading up to the rebuilding of the Second Temple. Last week we went quickly over all of the scriptures received during and or regarding the second year of King Darius, and the week before we looked at the fourth year of King Darius. If you missed those, please go to our website at www.hiswordheals.com to download them for free. This week we're going to quickly read through Ezra's synopsis of this same time period, leading up to and through the sixth year of King Darius and the completion of the temple, and then I will summarize the timeline with scripture references so we can see if there is indeed a possible parallel between the reign of King Darius and President Trump. I think you will be as surprised as I was with the information we are about to cover. We'll start with Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, to proclaim throughout all his kingdom, and also in writing, saying, Thus said Cyrus, king of Persia, Yahweh Elohim of the heavens has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has commanded me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is among you of all his people? His Elohim be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judea, and build the house of Yahweh Elohim of Israel. He is Elohim, which is in Jerusalem. Ezra 3:1-8. Now when the seventh month came, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered as one man to Jerusalem. That would be the seventh month of the first year of King Cyrus. And Yeshua, son of Jehozadak, and his brothers, the priests, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his brothers, arose and built the altar of the Elohim of Israel, to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the Torah of Moses, the man of Elohim. So they set the altar on its stands, being afraid of the peoples of the lands, and they offered burnt offerings on it to Yahweh, both the morning and the evening burnt offerings. And they performed the festival of booths, or Sukkot, as it is written, and the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the right ruling for each day. And afterward
Lord the continual burnt offering, and those for new moons, and for all the appointed times of Yahweh that were set apart, also for everyone who volunteered a voluntary offering to Yahweh. From the first day of the seventh month of the first year of King Cyrus, they began to offer burnt offerings to Yahweh, but the foundation of the house of Yahweh had not been laid. And they gave silver to the stonemasons and to the carpenters, and food and drink and oil to the people of Sidon and Sor, to bring cedar logs from Lebanon to the sea at Yafo, according to the permission which they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. And in the second month of the second year of their coming to the house of Elohim to Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, son of Jozadak, and the rest of their brothers, the priests and the Levites, and all those who had come out of the captivity to Jerusalem, began, and they appointed the Levites from 20 years old and above to oversee the work of the house of Yahweh. So, in spite of the fact that King Cyrus decreed that the Israelites would be allowed to rebuild their temple, Ezra 4:1-23 details all the troubles and harassment that the Israelites endured during King Cyrus's reign and thereafter right up through the next two kings until the reign of King Darius. They were not able to accomplish very much. In fact, as mentioned previously, Ezra 4:24-5:2 says the work of the house of Elah, which is at Jerusalem, ceased, and it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of Elohim of Israel, even unto them. Then arose up Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Yeshua the son of Jehozadak, and began to build the house of Elohim, which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of Elohim helping them. Expanding with some background as well as more detail regarding the restart and completion of the building of the second temple, Ezra 6:1-22 tells us, Then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid up in Babylon, and there was found at Achmetha, in the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a roll, and therein was a record thus written, In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king, made a decree concerning the house of Elohim at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 60 cubits, with 3 rows of great stones, and a row of new timber, and let the expanses be given out of the king's house. And also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of Elohim, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple which is at Jerusalem, and brought to Babylon, be restored, and brought again unto the temple which is in Jerusalem, every one to his place, and place them in the house of Elohim. Now therefore Tatnai, governor beyond the river, Shethar-Boznai, and your companions, the Apsarchites, which are beyond the river, be ye far from thence. Let the work of this house of Elohim alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of Elohim in his place. Moreover, I make a decree what ye shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of Elohim, that the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered. And that which they have need of, both young bullocks and rams and lambs, for the burnt offerings of the Elohim of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the appointment of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors to the Elohim of heaven, and pray for the life of the king and his sons. Also I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this. And the Elohim that hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy all the kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and to destroy this house of Elohim which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree, let it be done with speed. Then Tatnai, governor on this side of the river, Shetharbozanai and their companions according to that which Darius the king had sent, so they did speedily. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it, according to the commandment of the Elohim of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which is in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity, kept the dedication of this house of Elohim with joy, and offered at the dedication of this house of Elohim 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for a sin offering for all Israel 12 he-goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And they set the priests in their divisions, and the Levites in their courses, for the service of Elohim, which is at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites were purified together, all of them were pure, and killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity, and for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. And the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land to seek Yahweh Elohim of Israel, did eat, and kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For Yahweh had made them joyful, and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them, to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of Elohim, the Elohim of Yisrael. So here is our timeline with scripture references leading up through the completion of the building of the second temple after the 70-year Babylonian exile. For the sake of time, I will be going over them pretty quickly, so if you are unable to write down these scriptures, we will post them on our website at www.hiswordheals.com below the program's free download link on the radio program archives page. So here we go. In the first year of King Cyrus, the king decrees that the temple of Yahweh is to be rebuilt. Ezra 1:1-3. In the seventh new moon of the first year of King Cyrus, the Israelites rebuilt the altar on the Temple Mount first and offered ascending offerings during that Sukkot as well as all of the daily offerings, even though the temple foundation had not even been laid yet. Thereafter, they also continued the daily offerings and all the other feast offerings while attempting to rebuild the temple. Ezra 3:1-6. In the second new moon of the second year of King Cyrus, Levites were appointed to oversee the rebuilding of the temple. Ezra 3:8. The Israelites, while attempting to rebuild the temple, were constantly troubled and hindered throughout the reign of King Cyrus and into the reign of the next two kings. Ezra 4:1-16. King Artaxerxes then decreed that the rebuilding of the temple should cease, and it did until the second year of King Darius, Ezra 4:17-24. And this King Artaxerxes also has another name, I believe. If it's the king right after King Cyrus, it would have been Cambyses. If it's the king right before Darius, it would be a usurper king. But we'll talk more about that in just a bit. In the second year of King Darius, the prophets Haggai and Zechariah rose up to prophesy that the rebuilding of the temple was to be restarted and completed. Ezra 5:1-2. Ezra 6:1-12 elaborates that in the second year of King Darius, he reconfirmed and strengthened the decree originally made by King Cyrus that the temple should be rebuilt. The Israelites should not be hindered any longer, and even decreed additional funding for it. Additionally, as I read last week, in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, which is Elul 1, the first day of the 40 days of repentance leading up to Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, Haggai 1:13 is received, wherein Yahweh chastises the Israelites because his temple was still not rebuilt, while they were all living in paneled houses. Then in Haggai 1:14-15, they resumed building the temple on the 24th day of Elul in the second year of King Darius. Just as a quick recap before we move on, King Cyrus is the one to first decree the rebuilding of the temple in the first year of his reign. It wasn't going very well, and evidently, according to Haggai, the Israelites were getting comfortable in their paneled houses. It doesn't sound as if they were too big of a hurry to get it done, and it's no wonder with all the opposition and harassment they were receiving. It came to the point that the work on the temple ceased altogether until the second year of King Darius, when he reconfirmed Cyrus's decree and then funded and got the work going again. Before we move on, as an interesting aside, I researched the kingly timeline to see if there were any interesting parallels between that time period and the time period between the issuance of the U.S. Jerusalem Embassy Act and Trump's confirmation of the act and actual relocation of the embassy earlier this year. The best I could tell from several different historical accounts and websites was that there were approximately 19 years between the first year of King Cyrus, when the first decree to rebuild the temple was issued, and King Darius' second year, when he reconfirmed and reinforced that decree, enacting the rebuilding of the temple in earnest. There were also two kings in between Cyrus and Darius. Then I did some digging to see when the Jerusalem Embassy Act went into effect. It was in October of 1995, during Bill Clinton's first term in office, that Congress voted to approve this act. That would have been about 22 and a half years ago. 22 and a half years before Trump reconfirmed and strengthened the act declaring Jerusalem the capital of Israel by actually moving the embassy there. Jerusalem is now officially recognized as the capital of Israel. You might have noticed that the 22 and a half years since the act was proclaimed by Congress does not really match the 19-year period between Cyrus' declaration and Darius' reconfirmation and actual restart of the building of the temple, does it? But wait, there's more. The Jerusalem Embassy Act, passed by Congress in October of 1995, went into effect in November of 1995, but without the signature of the president or head of state. President Clinton did not sign it. Therefore, he did not officially approve or decree it like King Cyrus did. Not yet, anyway, not in 1995. He allowed 10 days to lapse without signing it after Congress had passed it, so then it automatically became law without his signature or official confirmation as our head of state. Now I'm reading from Wikipedia. The act became law without a presidential signature on November 8, 1995. The act recognized Jerusalem as the capital of the State of Israel and called for Jerusalem to remain an undivided city. Its purpose was to set aside funds for the relocation of the embassy of the United States in Israel from its location in Tel Aviv to Jerusalem by May 31, 1999. For this purpose, it withheld 50% of the funds appropriated to the State Department specifically for acquisition and maintenance of buildings abroad, as allocated in fiscal year 1999 until the United States Embassy in Jerusalem had officially opened. Funding for the relocation of the embassy and hence the declaration of Jerusalem as Israel's capital would not take place until May 31, 1999. At the official decree of King Cyrus, Persia's head of state, there was funding from the people at large and from the king's treasury. The Jerusalem Embassy Act had a waiver in it that the actual moving of the embassy could be postponed for 6 months by the president in the interest of national security. So then, President Clinton did not sign the bill in 1995, but did indeed sign off on it later in 1999. He officially recognized the act when he signed the first postponement waiver in 1999, which is when the mandatory funding for it also kicked in. Then every 6 months after that, every president had done the same until the second year of Donald Trump's presidency when, again according to Wikipedia, the United States Embassy officially relocated to Jerusalem on May 14, 2018 to coincide with the 70th anniversary of the Israeli Declaration of Independence. Almost exactly 19 years after the May 31, 1999 official funding and recognition date. Bingo, there's the 19 years from King Cyrus' first year proclamation to Darius' second year reconfirmation and strengthening of King Cyrus's decree to rebuild the temple, which ultimately led to the temple's completion in the sixth year of King Darius, according to Ezra 6:14-18. For me, that is interesting enough, but there's one more interesting bit of information that I found. Looking at the kings in between King Cyrus and King Darius, we find there were two, just as there were two presidents between Clinton and Trump, those of course being Bush Jr. and Obama. Interestingly, the king right before King Darius is recorded to be an imposter and a usurper of power. Wikipedia has this to say about this usurper of power just prior to King Darius. While the primary sources do not agree on the names and many other details, the three oldest surviving sources, Darius himself, Herodotus, and Ctesias, all portray Gaumata Pseudosmerdis Sphendates as an impostor who usurped the throne by posing as one of the sons of Cyrus the Great, i.e. as one of the brothers of Cambyses II. And Cambyses II was the king right after King Cyrus and right before the pseudo-king, the impostor, that preceded King Darius. I invite you to make of that what you will. For your information, keep in mind when looking up these dates, King Cyrus the Great was king over the Medes for about 20 years before conquering Babylon in 539 BC. The year he conquered Babylon is the year he decreed that the Jews could go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. So for biblical purposes, his first year as king, when he made his decree, would have been 539 BC, and King Darius received his throne in 522 BC. So his second year decree would have been made in 520 BC, or 19 years after King Cyrus' decree. And again, the Jerusalem Embassy Act officially went into effect and was actually signed in the form of a waiver by President Clinton, our head of state, on May 31, 1999. And then almost exactly 19 years later, on May 14, 2018, in President Trump's second year, President Trump reconfirmed the Jerusalem Embassy Act in the form of actually moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, officially declaring Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Some interesting websites to peruse if you are interested at all are www.bibarch.com, BibleHub.com, GotQuestions.org, and Britannica.com. These are four of the sites where I found a lot of information about King Cyrus, King Darius, the timeline, and the pseudo-usurper of power that preceded King Darius. So then, if there truly is a parallel of sorts between King Darius and President Trump, what might we expect to happen within the next 2 to 4 years if we continue on this same timeline? I had hoped this week to make it all the way through this biblical timeline to the completion of the temple in the sixth year of King Darius. However, we are out of time for today, so please stay tuned and we'll finish up this timeline, Yah willing, next week and take a closer look at Haggai and Zechariah's prophecies as they relate to and or are expanded upon in other biblical prophecies, including Revelation, to see what might be headed our way in the possibly not too distant future. We are called to be watchmen, and if we think we see danger approaching, we are required to sound a shofar. Proverbs 22:3 tells us, "When the wise man or wise woman sees danger approaching, they prepare or seek cover, but the foolish pass on and are punished." With our Savior's wisdom and guidance, may we be wise watchmen and watchwomen. If you would like to download this program as well as all of our preceding programs for free, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com. I will also try to get this timeline with all of these scriptures posted up there as well in the next week or two. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your homes.
It is good to give thanks to Yahweh and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving commitment in the morning and your trustworthiness each night, on 10 strings and with harp, to the sounding chords of the lyre. for you have made me rejoice with your work, O Yahweh. I shout for joy at the works of your hands. O Yahweh, how great are your works!